Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has thanked the first responders involved in yesterday's rescue mission following the Whakaari eruption. 8 people remain on the island. Police don't believe they are alive. And our reporter Mani Dunlop is in Whakatane and joins us now. Kia ora, Mani.
Kia ora, GC.
Did you happen to feel that quake a little while ago, by the way?
No, we didn't feel it here.
Okay.
But yeah, just caught up on the news and see that, yeah, it was a bit of a jolt, which is always alarming, especially after a volcano. But I'm sure whether it's linked yet, so obviously the GNS will fill us in.
You've been busy, of course, today. And first of all, let's talk about these responders. It must have been a hugely emotional time for them.
Yes, definitely. Well, the Prime Minister met with the responders this morning not long ago and just, you know, shared her gratitude with them. And some of them, you know, just talking about how one responder described it as organised chaos and how everyone just kind of did what they're good at and responded as best they could in a really, really intense situation. And, you know, obviously the Prime Minister has expressed how grateful she is to them, and one of our reporters spoke to one of the responders, and they were just saying, you know, this is their job, it's what they do.
And any update on the island itself and whether it's safe enough yet to go and recover those still on the island?
Not too sure. The police are expected to be giving some more information and potentially a stand-up this afternoon about what they will be doing, the operation will look like this afternoon. I mean, I know that you can see some helicopters kind of around the mainland. I'm not too sure how close they're actually getting to the island itself. So, yeah, we're still unsure about whether or not they'll be going back on it for the what they are calling a recovery mission.
Any new information from GeoNet in terms of likelihood of another eruption and what exactly is going on there?
Yeah, so GNS just sent out a release not long ago, and so they were saying that there's a 50% chance of another eruption on Whakaari in the next 24 hours. Obviously, there's been no further eruptions since yesterday's devastating blast, and the alert is still staying at a level 3. In that release, they said that there's localised steam and mud jetting from the active vent area. So they're estimating over the next 24 hours an equal likelihood of either no eruption or a smaller, similar-sized one that would impact the main crater floor. So, yeah, there's obviously looking at a 50-50 chance of that happening again. So whether or not this is going to have an impact on that operation this afternoon, we'll soon find out from police and what their plan is.
Thanks, Mani. And any other news on the injured? Do we know how they're getting on?
No major updates since this morning, early this morning, press conference with the Prime Minister and the police. So, obviously, there are victims all over the country in different hospitals, some critical, others not as bad. No update at the moment on those victims.
I understand there was a rahui put over the waters in the island this morning. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, so one of the kaumātua placed the rahui early this morning, as you with karakia and dahui are usually done at dawn or just before the sun rises, and so that was done this morning. There'll be a lot of kōrero from iwi around what will happen. I mean, it makes sense for a rahui to be there, and obviously it's not a safe place to be, and whether or not it will ever be lifted is yet to be seen. But we also this morning there was a karakia held at the marae at Te Manuka Tūtahi, hosted and organised by Ngāti Awa for some of the victims' families, two of which, so the island of the tour operators, which is owned by Ngāti Awa, two of their guides are among the 8 that are uncounted for on the island. And so some of their whānau and also whānau members of other victims from overseas were there as well. Media weren't allowed in, therefore weren't allowed into the service, but you could hear from the marae gates a lot of waiata, and as the whānau were walking in, obviously a lot of tears and a lot of consoling going on in this really horrible and tragic time. A kaumātua, Teke Mirito, came out after the karakia and just spoke about, you know, how the reason for that karakia was to wrap a kōrewai of aroha around these victims' families at this really taumaha and really hard time, and showing that manaaki is as Kapiawa and many iwi and hapu always do in these really horrible situations, and it is a natural response to perform karakia, to perform waiata in order to help support those victims' families and also the staff who know these, who are impacted by this tragic this tragedy.
Mani Dunlop, really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mani's an RNZ reporter, and she's reporting from Whakatane. And when we get any further information on that story, we'll share it with you straight away, of course. And the developing story is on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Well, let's talk to someone who was there yesterday. John Fennell is a rescue pilot who was involved in the operation on Whakaari. He joins us now. Hi there, John.
Hi, Jesse.
What was your role yesterday?
I was sort of involved in that. I was in a fixed-wing aeroplane, just flying overhead, passing messages. This is limited to no communication when you're on the ground at White Island back to Whakatane or to the mainland at all. So in order to prepare people back at the hospital, what was coming in, I sat above there and passed messages on when aircraft or helicopters left with people, so that they knew what to expect and to be prepared to meet that helicopter when it arrived back on the mainland.
What sort of messages were you passing on?
Just the number of injured people, how serious they were. We were trying to get paramedics in there on the ground to assist the crews who were predominantly the local operators, not air ambulance operators or rescue people as such, but they're capable of doing it. But they had no medical staff with them. And because it took some time to get the rescue helicopters, the medical staff there, many of the people, of the survivors, were flown out without medical support. It was a matter of, because of the risk involved, getting them off the island as quick as we can and into a place of safety. And, of course, that meant that those two or three pilots that went in there into an active volcano and loaded those people on board and flew them out are the guys that saved the day for the ones that did survive.
You would have had a pretty good vantage point, I suppose. Whereabouts were they landing and what could you see?
Well, they were landing right in the crater itself, and the two of the pilots at the real start of it had to get out of their machines and walk around and search for survivors and then load them into their helicopters. And some of these people were critically injured. In fact, one or two were unconscious and having to be supported, but they did what they could with the very limited resources they had, got them on board their helicopters and back to the mainland. And I would then pass that message on through to air traffic control at Tauranga, who are very good at then informing the hospital and the police what was happening or what was incoming.
I mean, how treacherous were those conditions that they were flying into with their helicopters?
You're in an active volcano. It's at the time wasn't erupting, but there was still a lot of steam and dust and gas in the air. And they had a quick discussion between themselves and with myself on the radio and decided that the way to handle that was to get in and out as quickly as they can to minimise the exposure in there. And I think those boys, two of them in particular, did a great job. They were covered in dust and mud when I finished my role and got back to Whakatane. They had been working very hard and they had a handheld radio. Were walking around and reporting to me what they could see, and they were breathing quite hard, just trying to get around through the quite thick ash and call in what was in front of us, which allowed me to pass that on to the authorities. And we ended up, I think, with about five or six air ambulance helicopters in Whakatane.
Frustrating for you at all, John? I know you've been involved in search and rescue for a good few decades. You were playing an important role yesterday, but I suppose you wanted to be helping out in an even more sort of direct way.
Well, everyone plays an important role. There's one part of me that would have liked to have been on the ground there doing that, but then there was quite an element of risk involved there. And they made a measurement of that, made the right call, got in and out quickly. It's always frustrating when you lose people. And the frustration for them was they weren't prepared to leave people that were alive behind. They just was a major driver. They were not going to leave people that were alive on the island on their own. And they just hung in there and called in more helicopters and did what they could to get those people back into Whakatane.
Hard for you to stay calm when you realised exactly what was unfolding down there. I doubt you've been involved with anything like that before.
To be honest, Jesse, I was that busy. I was on my own trying to fly an aeroplane, answer a cell phone and relay messages. There was no time to do much else but focus on the job at hand and keep the operation running from above.
We really appreciate you doing it yesterday. And, of course, people who know nothing about the rescue process are weighing in online and saying the police should be rushing in to get those who remain on the island. You know, consequences be damned. What's your view on it, having been in the air and seen what's down there?
I think you need to put all this in perspective. I've seen all the keyboard warriors out there making comments. Now, what I'd say is pause and wait till you've got all the information. To put it in perspective, I live on the edge of Lake Taupo. It's an active volcano still, albeit it hasn't erupted for quite a few hundred years. Hopefully it won't for quite a few more hundred years. But there's 140,000 people every year walk the Tongariro Alpine Crossing. That is an active volcano. It has erupted recently. On the Mount Rapohi ski fields this midwinter, there's some 10,000 skiers a day. That is an active volcano, and it has erupted recently. So it's very easy to jump to conclusions saying, what were they doing on White Island? But there's been people going there for 30 years, and it's been quite successful. And I think the problem is for the experts to accurately predict when there's going to be an eruption. That is the challenge. And just like they couldn't really predict Christchurch earthquakes or the Kaikoura earthquakes, it is a challenge to predict ahead when these things are going to occur.
Do you still have a role in the operation, John, or have you made your contribution now?
I'm actually retired. I just happened to be in Whakatane in my aeroplane doing some flight training. And the boys asked me what I mind coming out and providing some top, what they call top cover, to relay the messages. So, because I knew most of the people involved by first name, it was relatively simple for me to get out there and become involved again.
Boy, they're lucky to have you on the scene. Sounds like someone was pretty organised in terms of the distribution of jobs and getting people mobilised.
If it wouldn't have been me, it would have been someone else would have stepped up and done it, Jesse. It's just when you're in this business, I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised. It's the way people work. They step forward when required to participate and help save people's lives.
And given the difference you were able to make yesterday, does part of you think, oh, maybe I'll just step out of retirement and make myself available again?
No, probably not, but I'm always willing to help and do what I can as situations present themselves. As I say, we're never going to ever leave people on their own or leave survivors behind. And I was impressed with those pilots there. There was no way that they were going to stop behind. One of the pilots had lost one of his helicopters and it was on the island when it erupted and it severely damaged the helicopter. He flew in with another one, got that crew out, and then continued to fly other people out as well.
I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
John Fennell, a rescue pilot, retired rescue pilot, who was involved in the operation on Whakaari yesterday.